Everything about Edmonton is perfect right now. They can't lose a game. They cannot lose a game. They did it again last night. And they are moving and shaking up the standings here, man. The Oilers are red hot. Mike Smith is up for the Vezina all of a sudden. Guy can't lose. Here's the GM of the Edmonton Oilers, Ken Holland. Are we pumping your tires enough here, Ken, or what?
I've been around July. It can slip, and things can turn in a hurry in this league. So certainly, we're happy with the run, but there's a long way, long way to go. Lots of hockey left to be played.
Yeah, that's probably a reasonable state of mind. But man, you guys are playing well, and you looked good again last night. And you got those two rock stars up front. You've mentioned it. You've been around the game for a long time, and you've been the GM of some Hall of Fame players. But how great is it? How fun is it to show up at the rink knowing that 97 and 29 are playing for you that night?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're great players, and you know, they you know, you go into a game, you most nights you're pretty confident they're gonna be involved in a goal. So, but I'm pleased. You know, I think twice a couple of weeks ago we'd won two games. When Connor and Leon didn't get a point, we found ways to scratch out some wins. So, you know, we're sort of evolving as a team, and I think we're gaining some confidence here as we've gone along. And, you know, getting Mike Smith back to kind of get our 1-2 punch in goal with Koski and Mike has been good. So, you know, I think we're feeling good about ourselves, looking forward. Obviously, we got three games now with the Leafs, and the Leafs are feeling good about themselves. So, looking forward to the next series. You know, you play series. We're looking forward to the Winnipeg, and then Vancouver, and now Toronto, and then Toronto leaves, and somebody else comes. So, it's an interesting schedule, but certainly looking forward to the next three games with the Leafs.
Kenny, how has it been watching Puljujärvi? He's an interesting case study. He left for a year, and then he comes back. He looks bigger. He looks stronger. And most importantly, he looks like a solid NHL player from what I've seen. I don't know if you have differing opinions, but what's the process been putting eyeballs on him? What's it been like?
No, he's really growing since he's, you know, come here. You know, he started out early in the season in training camp, but early in the season, he was down on a line there that we thought was going to be a third line with Kyle Turris and Archibald. And I think about game five or six, we played in Winnipeg, and Dave Tippett made a decision to put Jesse up with Connor and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and played a great game that night, and I think scored a goal, and he's been there ever since. I think his confidence is growing. He's obviously got six goals in his last, I think, what, nine games for us. And I would say to you, you know, hearing, you know, what transpired here 3 years ago or 2 years ago, and then he went back to Finland last year, I would say to you, going back to Finland when he was 21 years of age was probably really good for his confidence. Probably lost his swagger a little bit. Confidence is such an important ingredient in athletes. And, you know, he was drafted high, and after 3 years, he kind of lost his swagger. He lost his confidence. He went back. He finished in the top near the top leaders in scoring in the Finnish league. He played for the Finland national team on a couple of tournaments, and he's come back and he's playing professional hockey, North American professional hockey. He's going in straight lines. He's getting in the forecheck. He's putting pressure on the other team's defensemen. He's been strong on the wall. He's done a good job in getting the puck in the hands of Connor and Nuge. He's gone to the blue paint. He's a net front presence for them. So he's been a really important player for us this year, and at the age of 23, you know, hopefully he can grow and continue to develop as a player, but certainly a player that's going to be important for this team, player for this franchise going forward.
Ken, you mentioned confidence, and you know, Tyson Berry was in this market last year. You know, Darnell Nurse is a guy who's been asked to do more. I'm just looking at your defensive core in the absence of Oscar Klefbom, because he was a guy who played in all situations, and he's not available to you this year. Are you happy with your group? Has there been players that have elevated? And maybe talk about a guy like Berry and Nurse who've kind of anchored your back end.
Well, you know, I'll get to, you know, and Darnell Nurse, he sort of reminds me a little bit when I think back to my Detroit days, when we had Lidstrom and Konstantinov, and then Konstantinov, we lost him obviously in the car accident. And Nick Lidstrom just got more ice time. He came to camp that year. He got more ice time. He got more responsibility. We were leaning on him more, and it was really probably a part of his career when he took his career to another level. And with Klefbom out, you know, Klef last year, they played 25 minutes. Darnell was around 22 minutes. And now, obviously, Klef is out. We're leaning on Darnell way heavier than we did last year, way more responsibility, and he's relishing the opportunity. And he's playing, you know, 25 to 27 minutes a night. I think he played 32 or 33 minutes last week against Calgary in one of those games, the night the Cuckoo got hurt early in the game. So he's using the opportunity. You can see his confidence growing. He's taken his game, you know, from what I saw last year. He played really good last year. He's taken it to another level this year. And in Tyson Berry, you know, signed him obviously with Klef out. We needed another defenseman, somebody that thought that could run the power play, because Klef was on the power play. You know, it's a one year opportunity for both of us to kind of see how it worked out. I thought the first four or five games, he looked a little tentative, and a little slow out of the gate. And I don't know about game six and game seven, he just seemed to kind of take his game, take the puck and do the things that he's done throughout his career. And, Ethan Bear, somewhere along the line there, you know, he played with Nurse last year. Ethan got hurt, and Dave Tippett put Tyson Berry with Darnell Nurse, and they found a wonderful chemistry. And they've been, I think we're one of the leading teams in the league with points from the back end, and certainly those two guys are a major reason why we're getting points from the back end. Both guys, Tyson and Darnell Nurse, are playing at a high level, and they both get time on the power play, and they're helping us get the puck going from when we're in our end, get the hands of the puck in the hands of Connor and Leon, and transition from defense to offense. And you know, we've cut the goals against down significantly the last 10-12 games. We were giving up way too many goals early on for a whole variety of reasons. And I think that we've kind of we're playing with more confidence now, and we've got some people that have taken their game here, you know, Darnell, Tyson, getting Mike Smith back, you know, that we've got lots of people on board pitching in, helping us find ways to win hockey games.
Chatting with Ken Holland, GM of the Edmonton Oilers. The Leafs are in Edmonton for three games starting tomorrow night. McDavid and Draisaitl, obviously their play speaks for itself. But their contracts really stick out as well. And we had conversations on this show when your predecessor signed Leon Draisaitl. There were, you know, some people that were wondering, man, that seems a bit rich. I mean, a lot of guys in that category were going for around $6 million, $6.5 million. He signs an eight-year deal at $8.5 million, and now it looks like an absolute bargain. It is, relatively speaking. And you have him locked in through 24-25, and Connor's locked in at 12.5 cap hit through 25-26. So, between the two of them, $21 million for at least four more seasons after this. You know, as an architect, you're building this team. Having those two locked in at the price that they're at, you know, how much of a luxury is that going to be for you and the ability to build around them and hopefully build a cup-winning team at some point?
Well, I mean, first off, you make a great point. You know, great job by Peter Chiarelli, and you know, he had the foresight to go out and sign both those young stars to, you know, max deals, eight-year deals, and get them locked in. And, you know, once you get your star players locked in, you know, you can go to work. You know what the what numbers you are to work with, and you can build around it. So certainly coming here, you know, when I showed up, knowing that that Peter Shirley had done a lot of good work to, and those two contracts certainly were a part of it, was a real luxury and put me in a good position. So you know, they're two young superstars. They're locked in, like you said, for the next 4 years. They're great players. They play hard. They've got they care about the team. I came here last year, they worked really hard to have an all-rounded game. They work hard away from the puck. They're back checking and they're doing little things to try to help our team win. So certainly feel very fortunate that they're locked up long term, and we're just trying to obviously build around them and build a bigger core of players that can help us win on an everyday basis.
Kenny, what's it like watching McDavid every night? The three of us all played the game, and we still watch, and we say, like, holy bleep, 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 bleep. And I know you've had Fedorov, Yzerman, Datsyuk. Has there been some moments where even McDavid just makes you go, like, wow, that's just kind of a new one for me, or is it just old hat for you with the guys you've had in the past?
No, I'm fortunate you rattled off some names. I had some great players and some great teams in Detroit, but nobody's like Connor, and he's in a world of his own. I'm all those bleeps that you just said, I have those bleeps too when I'm watching on an everyday basis. I mean, the things that he can do at high speed and tight quarters and go laterally, and he's I mean, you can't even put into words how good he is. I mean, he takes you out of your seat on an every night, many, many times basis. So, and then on top of that, how much he cares, you know, like I think, you know, he's got skill, but how much he cares and his determination and his passion for the sport, you know, at practice and in the off season and how determined he is to be the very best that he can be and to improve areas of his game that he thinks that need to be improved to take his game to another level. But certainly he's a highlight reel on almost every night. And I feel so fortunate to be able to have a front row seat and watch him play on an every night basis, because he's unreal, just absolutely unreal to watch on a night-to-night basis.
Ken, I just before we get you out of here, I just had one last question. It's more about golf, but I believe you've golfed with Ray Ferraro. Can you talk to his skill of his game?
What about the anger level? The anger level.
You know what? Ray's a pot hunter. I got a couple trips that he goes on. He comes into Vernon, and he always tells you how bad he's playing. He's a grinder. He finds a way to get the ball in the hole. He's a competitor. Can't tell you, he's the prettiest guy to watch, but he knows how to score, and he knows how to win money. He always seems to go home with money. So he's a competitor and a grinder. But I mean, a great guy. He loves hockey. He loves golf. He's got a lot of passion. He's a good man.
Yep. With his grumpiness, do you have to keep him away from friends of yours that are like nice guys? Because a normal guy that just has like nice days would not be familiar with him, like if he's having a day. So there's got to be people you keep him away from.
I always see him leaving the course. He's always leaving the course with his wallet stuffed a little thicker, so he's usually happy around our group. I think that's why he keeps coming back. He figures there's a lot of pigeons in the group that I've got, so he keeps coming back.
I like it. He's a sandbagger. That's what we like out of Ray, too. We see that. We hear it every day. Well, good luck tomorrow night and the rest of the way, and as always, we appreciate you taking time. Thank you, Ken.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
There's Ken Holland, the GM of the Edmonton Oilers. And
a couple things, Hazy.
Yeah, go ahead.
Great question to you. Mm-hmm. And I said that three of us played the game.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Up. Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm sure he's taking notes, saying he's going to ask his PR guy, "Who the hell's the other guy?"
He doesn't even know who me and Noodles are on this show.
He does. I'm telling you, that guy has been, like, he is so sharp when it comes to players in the league and all that. I guarantee you he's probably watched you play in Barrie. Like, he's that type of manager that is very proactive. He's been around the game, what, 30 years?
Yeah, long, long time. Like, from playing to being just right. in kind of middle management in Detroit, and eventually, I think he took over in the mid-90s as the GM.
Right.
So and obviously, he was there for 20-plus years.